Voices, visions, and a visitor. The whispers and music seemed to come from everywhere and nowhere, but all at once they ceased, and in the loud silence left behind, a quiet voice called to her. "Psyche, Psyche, don't be shy. Don't stare and twitch like a startled fawn. Don't you know that all this is yours? All this beauty, all these gemstones, this grand palace and the lands around it, yours. Go through that doorway and bathe yourself. The voices you hear are your handmaidens, here to do your bidding. When you are ready, a great feast will be laid out. Welcome, beloved Psyche. Welcome and enjoy." The dazed girl made her way into the next room, a vast chamber hung with tapestries and silks lit by flaming torches in bronze brackets. At one end was a gleaming copper bathtub, and in the centre a simply colossal bed, whose myrtle-wound frame was of polished cypress and whose linen was strewn with rose petals. Psyche was so tired, so befuddled, and so unable to make sense of things that she lay down on the bed and closed her eyes in the confused hope that sleep might wake her up from this wild dream. But when she awoke, she was still inside the dream. She got up from the soft brocaded cushions and saw that there was steam rising from the bath. She stepped from her clothes into the water. This is when things became entirely strange. A silver flask by the side of the bath rose up, danced in the air, and tipped its contents into the water. Before she had time to scream out her surprise, a glorious cloud of unknown fragrances assailed her senses. Now, an ivory-handled brush was scrubbing her back, and a ewer of hot water was being emptied over her hair. Invisible hands kneaded, stroked, pummeled, teased, and pressed. Psyche giggled like a little girl and allowed it all to happen. Whether this was a dream inside the real world, or a moment of reality inside a dream, no longer seemed important. She would enjoy the adventure and see where it took her. Damasks, silks, satins, and gossamer tissues flew from concealed closets and glided down onto the bed to shimmer beside her, rustling in anticipation of being chosen. She selected a chiffon gown of lapis blue, loose, comfortable, and exciting. The doors of her chambers opened, and with shy, uncertain steps, she made her way back to the main hall. A great feast was laid out on the table. Unseen hands were moving backwards and forwards with platters of fruit, cups of wine, dishes of exotic roast birds, and plates of sweetmeats. Never had Psyche seen or imagined such a banquet. Beside herself with joy, she dipped her fingers into dishes of such exquisite deliciousness that she could not help crying out in delight. The swine in the piggeries of her parents' farms did not snuffle and truffle at their wooden troughs with more uninhibited abandon than she did at the magical vessels of crystal, silver, and gold that filled and refilled themselves as fast as she could empty them. Napkins flew up to dab her wine-stained lips and food-smeared chin. An invisible choir sang soft ballads and hymns to human love as she gorged and guzzled in ecstasy. Finally, she was done. A feeling of great warmth and well-being stole over her. If she was being fattened up for an ogre, Then so be it. The candles on the table now rose up and led Psyche back to the bedchamber. The flickering torches and soft oil lamps had died down, and the room was in almost complete darkness. The unseen hands pushed her gently to the bedside, and her chiffon gown lifted up and away. Naked, she lay back between the satin sheets and closed her eyes. An instant later, she gasped in shock. Someone, or something, had slipped into bed beside her. She felt her body being gently pulled towards this figure. Sweet, warm breath mingled with hers. Her skin met the body, not of a beast, but of a man. He was beardless, and she knew this without being able to see him, beautiful. She could not see even the outline of him, only feel his heat and youthful firmness. He kissed her lips, and they entwined. Next morning, the bed was empty, and Psyche was bathed once more by the invisible handmaidens. As the long day passed, she asked them questions. "Where am I?" "Why, you are here, your highness."
"And where is here?"
"Far from there, but close to nearby."
"Who is the master of this palace?"
"You are the mistress." Never a straight answer. She did not press. She knew that she was in an enchanted place and could sense that her handmaidens were slaves to its rules and requirements. That night, in pitch darkness, the beautiful young man came to her bed again. She tried to speak to him, but he placed a finger to her lips and a voice sounded inside her head. "Hush, Psyche. Ask no questions. Love me as I love you." And slowly, as the days passed, she realized that she did love this unseen man very much. Every night they made love. Every morning she awoke to find him gone. The palace was glorious, and there was nothing Psyche's handmaidens would not do for her. She had everything she could ever want, the best to eat or drink, and music to accompany her everywhere. But what long, lonely days stretched out between the evenings of delicious love! How hard she found it to pass the time. The monster with whom she slept every night was, you will have guessed, the god Eros, whose self-inflicted dart had caused him to fall in love with Psyche, a love now strongly reinforced by their repeated nights of mutual bliss. The oracle had been right to say that Eros was a being whose powers frightened all the gods, for there was not one Olympian who had not been conquered by Eros at some time. Perhaps he was a monster after all, but he could be sensitive and sweet as well as capricious and cruel. He saw that Psyche was not entirely happy, and one night, as they lay together in the darkness, he quizzed her tenderly. "What ails you, beloved wife?"
"I hate to say this when you have given me so much, but I get lonely during the day. I miss my sisters."
"Your sisters?"
"Calanthe and Zona. They believe me to be dead."
"Only unhappiness can come from your consorting with them. Misery and despair for them and for you."
"But I love them."
"Misery and despair, I tell you." Psyche sighed. "Please believe me," he said. "It is for the best that you do not see them."
"What about you? May I not see you? May I never look into the face of the one I love so well? You must not ask me that. Never ask me that. The days passed, and Eros saw that Psyche, for all the wine and food, for all the music and magical fountains and enchanted voices, was pining. "Cheer up, beloved. Tomorrow is our anniversary," he said. A year? Had a whole year passed already? My present to you is to grant your wish. Tomorrow morning, my friend Zephyrus will await you outside the palace and take you where you need to be. But please be careful. Do not allow yourself to become too involved in the lives of your family, and you must promise never to tell them about me. Not one word about me. Psyche promised, and they fell into each other's arms for a night of anniversary love. Never had she felt more passionate adoration or physical delight, and she sensed equal feelings of ardour and love in him too. The next morning she awoke, as ever, to an empty bed. In a great fever of impatience, she allowed herself to be dressed and served breakfast by the handmaidens before running excitedly to the great gate at the front of the palace. She had barely stepped out before Zephyrus swept down and flew her away in his strong, supportive arms.